Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Hey, Newsom, didn't you get the memo from Cuomo and the other blue governors? Now that Biden was elected. And now that Trump can't be blamed anymore for businesses forced to shut down, and now that Biden can claim credit for a distribution of a vaccine developed under a previous administration, you're supposed to start opening up. And now let me introduce a different kind of politician, that rarity of rarities, a politician who actually works for the people who elected him. Go figure, he's been on our show before. It's always an honor to have him. Say hello again to the mayor of El Cajon, Bill Wells.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's awesome. And the big elephant in the room, probably everybody listening who knows you and your work knows that you are, well, you're not the only one in California, but you're certainly amongst the few in the greater San Diego area. You have been keeping your city open in defiance of state orders or mandates or whatever they call them these days, guidance. I'd like you to address that a little bit, and then we'll have some more questions for you.
Well, I don't want to mislead you. We're not open. I mean, most of the businesses have closed down because of fear of what the county will do to them. This all started a few months ago when people were coming to me and telling me how much in despair they were. You know, they were losing their businesses. Their kids were not able to go to school. They felt the burden of the lockdown, the isolation, and all the social problems that came with that. And I really started looking for something that I could do to help people. And I knew that a lot of what I could do was just symbolic, that I needed to give people some hope. So I went to my city manager and I said, you know, how much enforcement are we really doing? He said, none. We've never written a ticket for COVID-related issues. I said, so let's just say we're not going to do that. We're going to not enforce any COVID restrictions. And they said, well, you can't really do that because we can't say we're not going to enforce the law. That could cause major legal problems for the department. But we could do is ask our police department to make COVID-type enforcement a very low priority and leave it up to the police officer. So basically, I went in front of the TV cameras and I started off with a editorial to the San Diego Union Tribune, and that set off a firestorm of TV and radio wanting to talk to me, because what I said was, we're going to make it a very low priority. And it was translated into you're opening it up and you're in defiance of the orders. And I didn't really argue with that much because I was under the belief system that lockdowns don't work. And what happened as a result of that is I kind of became the de facto leader of the anti-lockdown movement, which was not something I really chose, but it happened, and I've been happy to take that role.
Well, you know the old saying, some people pursue greatness and some have greatness thrust upon them. I've been a friend of Bill for years. He's a very humble guy. He's not the kind of person that seeks the limelight or seeks to make trouble. And I think that gives you more credibility when you do take a stand. And it seems like for all intents and purposes, maybe on paper, it's not opened up, but certainly there's a freedom. Maybe some businesses aren't going along with it because they're scared. And so they're doing it. But if there's a wink, wink, nod, nod that it's a low priority, and I hope we don't get anyone in trouble by using the word wink, wink, nod, nod, but that's what I thought I was hearing, that you were hearing, then it seems like, as you put it, de facto, you have kind of kept things open as much as possible.
There are people that tell me that they're opened up and they're feeling emboldened to defy the county because of the things I've said, and so be it.
Okay. And you're not losing any sleep over that. What are you hearing? What is the scuttlebutt? Maybe it's your own opinion, your own insight. Back when we had the so-called 15-day shutdown, and I know that really was only guidance federally, but it was the states and cities that were putting teeth in it, I came on the air and I made it very clear that I didn't believe it was only going to be 15 days. Now, here we are in January of 2021. They keep moving the goalposts. Then we hear, first we said just 15 days, then it has to be the vaccine. Now we have the vaccine, and even in places where people are opened up, they define opened up as 25% wearing masks. I'm sorry, I don't consider that opening up. It seems to me that some of these governors just don't plan to ever open up, with the exception of the fact that maybe now that Biden's president, they can't blame it on Trump, maybe they'll open it up a little more. But I don't think they ever plan to go back to 100% normal. They keep saying get used to the new normal. Yeah, Your thoughts about that?
I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase.
I do too. Normal. I think we should resist it with every fiber of our being.
I liked the world we lived in. I liked going to restaurants. And I liked going to concerts. And
things we all took for granted. And yeah. Now we're like, it's like a dream to even think about them.
Yeah. Things I used to cry about.
Like, going to the movies. Yeah. Going out for a cup of coffee. This is insane.
I always used to roll my eyes when my wife wanted to go shopping with her. But I would love to go shopping with her now. It's terrible. I don't know that lockdowns themselves will not go away. I heard a rumor today, I don't know if you heard it, that Governor Newsom is going to issue an order in the next day or two to allow restaurants to reopen.
Oh, thank you, Governor. That's so benevolent of you. And I'm sure 25% capacity, masks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then if the color code changes a week later, he could shut. How many times has he opened them, shut them back and forth, sideways, this way, that way?
But I think you're onto something. When, as soon as the inauguration happened, Governor Cuomo suddenly saw the light, and he decided that it was.
Yeah, what a time for an epiphany.
I wrote on my Facebook page, well, welcome to the party, Governor. I mean, you're a little late, but we're, glad you finally saw the light. And, Lori Lightfoot, who is so militant.
Yeah, she's the other one.
She's and so I think for some reason that the code is out, the marching orders are out, that it's okay to start easing up on lockdowns. But you know what's interesting is they don't want to ease up on masks. I saw that
that's because masks historically have been a sign of submission. But go ahead.
Well, masks are dehumanizing, and yeah. I think that
I hate those frickin' frackin' masks. And I said frickin' frackin' because there's FCC regulations.
I hate them too. And I think that a lot of this is about dehumanizing people in general and conservatives. And you talked about that earlier. They really want to dehumanize conservatives by equating voting for Trump as being a white supremacist.
That includes Candace Owens, Ben Carson, Alveda King. Give me a break.
I spoke at a...
I shouldn't have said, give me a break. That's Biden's line now. I need to get a... I don't ever want to say, give me a break again. He's owning that phrase now. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I spoke at a Open San Diego rally earlier, about a month ago. And somebody from... the county said that that was a white supremacist organization, which I can tell you it was not. A lot of the speakers were people of color, as they say.
They said that about the Tea Party. I used to host the Ramona Tea Party. The president was an African American, but you never hear that in the news.
No, it's so interesting when people call me a racist and a white supremacist, because if they knew my life. It would be absurd to have said that. But, it's the direction we're going in. And that's the way to shut people up right now, right? If you want to end the argument.
It's the new McCarthyism. In the 50s, yeah. You called someone a communist to shut them up. Now you call them a white supremacist, even if they're black, even if they're Hispanic, even if they're Jewish.
Yeah.
It's insane.
But back to your talk about shutdowns and masks. I thought it interesting that Biden was signing his executive orders while wearing a mask. Now, Biden has had the vaccination, and he's had both of the vaccinations. So he's sitting alone in his office signing executive orders wearing a mask. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that they have no intention of easing up on the mask restrictions, even though people are going to get vaccinated, because the vaccine is only 95% effective, and so what is it telling you? It tells you that they're not going to shut down the restrictions of the wearing of masks and all the social distancing and the 25% and all that garbage. until it's 0% people die. And that's not
And then
ever
they'll
happen.
Pass the baton to the Green New Deal and say the real health crisis is the Green New Deal. And they're already having people say, you know, we need to travel less. We need to consume less meat because everything contributes to global warming, at least everything that Democrats don't like. Everything they want to use to control our life contributes to global warming.
Yes, I agree with you. We're kind of all over the board, but I'm on the San Diego Association of Government, SANDAG. I'm on the board of directors. I've been on there.
And you attended a very interesting meeting there recently. tell us about that.
I'll tell you about the meeting. But you know what?
You're not going to like this, folks, but you need to hear
it. One thing I want to tell people, which is a really big concern, is that you may think that things are just going along, but SANDAG has veered significantly to the left, and they are focused upon getting all of us out of their car, out of cars. The one way they'll do that is make sure that no freeway is ever improved and no freeway is ever built again in California. That makes congestion bad.
Well, they haven't done a great job on freeways anyway in California. I'm not sure that's going to keep too many of us from driving.
No. Well, the next thing that's coming is metered lanes. So they'll...
Oh, so we'll get charged the more we drive?
Yeah, you have to have a pod in your car. And then
you can't even make this stuff up.
So as you're driving down freeways, if it's a busy freeway, you'll get charged more for adding to the congestion. And at the end of the month, you'll get a bill. And it's all designed to keep people out of their cars. And the real goal is to force them to get on transit, to get on trolleys and buses. And ride bikes.
And I bet you they hand us a mask as we get on the transit. There's a guy just...
Well, you know, the truth is that those buses and trolleys are still only at a portion full. There's hardly anybody on them. Only 3% of San Diegans ever use them. We are spending literally billions of dollars on them.
Well, you've heard the joke going around that Governor Newsom wants to make cars against the law so that people can't use them to escape from California and go live somewhere else.
There may be. I have so many friends who've moved to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Idaho, Texas, those are the places people are going. I used to dream about... I grew up in California, lived in Arizona for 2 years, dreamed about coming back to California. Sometimes I wish I hadn't dreamed quite so hard.
Well, California was beautiful. I was born in California. You know, I went to high school in the 70s and graduated in 1980. And, you know, we would get ourselves down to the beach and hang out there all day and surf and try to find enough money to buy a chili dog and a Coke. And it was heaven on earth. And
California is still beautiful. A couple of years ago, my wife and I took a trip to Israel, and coming back, we changed planes in Germany. I had actually never been to Germany before, but we flew over Austria, which looked like the opening of The Sound of Music, a movie that I really love. And I started thinking about the Nazism and the horror that went on in such a beautiful country. And I remember the Von Trapp family singers, of course, that they really existed. It was not a fiction movie. It was based on real life. They lived in a beautiful country, and it was still beautiful when the Nazis annexed it, but they needed to get out.
Well, as we are learning, and I think we will definitely learn more in the years to come, policy can make a country unlivable. I think California is going to be very difficult to live in it. I'm going to stay. I feel like God has posted me here. I think I'm my job is to fight. And so I fight as much as I can. I'm going to fight until I can't fight anymore. But
I have not made a decision yet about whether I'm staying or not. I'm certainly going to fight while I'm here. But I know that people listening right now who want to stay want to hear some hope. I remember back in 2018, I asked you to give us some hope. I wouldn't have thought back then that things could get any worse, but it's on steroids from where we were back then. What kind of hope do you see? I do see some locally. You yourself are a symbol of hope. What you are doing as a mayor, I'm seeing things going on in Orange County. I'm wondering if we can't take this idea of sanctuary states, which the governors love throwing in Trump's face, and start having sanctuary cities. What kind of thoughts do you have on that?
Well, there's lots of good people in politics here in San Diego. I'm going to leave somebody out, but you know, I think of Richard Bailey in Coronado, Steve Voss in Poway, We've got John Mento in Santee, Rebecca Reese-Jones up in San Marcos, all really dedicated conservatives.
Can we all get a good Friday night poker game going so we can start talking? We better not do it over Facebook.
You know, I don't know how God will save us, but I do believe that God's not done with us, and I think
you're talking about California right now, not the whole country.
I think the whole nation.
They all just became California when Biden got sworn in. Look again, you're all Californians now. We were just a petri dish testing all this stuff.
I don't think it's time to give up and put your head between your knees and wait for destruction.
We want to fight and we don't want to give up. So what are some practical ways you can tell our audience to do that?
First off, we as a society, but particularly Christians and particularly conservatives, have not wanted to get our hands dirty by getting involved in the fight. And the truth is, if all Christians unified and fought against this evil, and make no mistake, what is coming our way and what is taking the place in city halls and governorships and county supervisor seats all over the nation, but particularly in California, there's a real dark evil there. And people have to stand up and fight against evil. And they have to be very vocal about it. They've got to stop being afraid. And I think when I think about the Bible verse that if God is with me, who can be against me? And I know that sounds easy to say.
And also, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
Referring to the powers of Satan himself.
You know, and a lot of people will say to me, well, that's easy for you to say because you're brave and you know, you don't care and you're out in the fight. And look, if that's not me at all. I am somebody who hates controversy. I'm somebody that hates to be embarrassed.
Like I said, and I think that gives you more credibility because you're drawing on the courage God is giving you. And that's what we all need to do.
You know, just somewhere along the line, it part of it for me was being elected. I never really intended to get into politics. So it's a long story, but I ended up becoming elected as a city council member, and I was really excited about the whole concept. And then one night I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, and I said, "I've got to do something." You know, I God's given me this post, and I've got to do something positive, or I'm going to someday look back at this and say, I wasted everything. And so it really became important to me to start finding causes to fight for. And just one thing led to another, and those causes became more controversial and they became more public. And I guess at some point I decided that when people would hate me, it was never people I knew, because people I knew were always very kind to me. But it was always complete strangers who would characterize me in ways that were not anything to do with reality. And so it didn't even feel like they're attacking me. They're attacking some character that they think I am.
Well, that's the way political evil always works. It's they go after the abstraction. They don't look at real honest. They don't want anybody who's, whether you're a Trump supporter or whether you're just an evangelical Christian or conservative, whoever you voted for, we are a threat to them because Marxist governments don't want people to be religious, because if they're religious, they trust in something higher than the government. And the government wants us trusting only them. So they have to paint us that way. Not real human beings. They have to dehumanize everyone that resists.
So do you talk about practical things that people could do? Back before COVID had shut us down to Zoom meetings. I'm so tired of Zoom meetings.
Especially since China has a big investment.
Looks like I started China, but yeah. So, like I said, I'm on SANDAGs and San Diego Association of Governments, and we would have our board meetings, and every time we had a public comment, there would be 15 or 20 leftists that would come up and talk about, you know, we're all going to die from global warming and, you know, 8 years. We've got to stop all cars. We've got to, you know, just crazy stuff. Almost never would somebody with a conservative point of view or even just a common sense point of view come up and speak?
Is that because they weren't allowed to or because they were intimidated to not
do it? No, I just don't think they don't care.
They're just not – because they're engaged. Looking after their families. They're working for a living.
Look,
they need to become engaged.
I get it. I mean, not everybody can drive downtown and park and spend 6 hours going to a stupid meeting. But some people can, and people could write letters. You know – Nathan Fletcher is running roughshod over Christians and running roughshod over conservatives like they don't even exist. But you know what? When you're a politician and you get a letter or you get an email, you know, you pay attention. If you get 75.
And they should also get letters from people who aren't Christians saying, I don't want to see Christians treated that way because we live under a First Amendment. Well, that would have credibility too.
And believe me, it's not just Christians. These are people that are saying that if you voted for Trump, you're an anarchist.
There's atheists who voted for Trump.
Yeah. These are people that say if you think that there's a biological difference between men and women, that you should be excoriated from society.
Yeah, and see, 5 years ago, nobody believed that. 10 years ago, they didn't consider it evil say marriage is between a man and a woman. They've been boiling that frog incrementally, now they're just throwing it on us.
So I'm going to tell you something that would be very controversial. I don't think anybody believes it now.
No, it's the emperor's new clothes. They're afraid to say anything.
Yeah, they want to be cool. They want to be not.
Or they're thinking, if the majority feels this way, I shouldn't trust my lying eyes. Don't see here. Nothing to look here. Move along. Move on.
Yeah, it's like if everybody suddenly became vegan, the black market hamburgers world would go light on fire.
I will testify that everyone in the world can become vegan. I will still have a nice sirloin steak, medium rare, long as there's a restaurant that still serves it.
But I believe that there would be people that would say, oh yeah, vegan's the way to go, and then, you know, they'd be sneaking out to get some meat.
You know what George Burns said about those diets? They don't really help you live longer. They just make life seem longer. Yeah. Well, tell us in the last few minutes what's going on that's coming to your desk. What's going on in the city? What's going on in the state?
Well, I'm interested in talking about a little bit about what you talked about, the national politics. When Twitter and Facebook decided to deplatform conservatives, I had a lot of conservative friends and writers, a lot of people we know in common that were silenced. They were taken off. A pastor friend of mine up in Northern California lost his ability to communicate with his church. He was doing a daily Facebook live feed with his flock, and they cut him off.
And these were the same people that said, well, there's nothing wrong with meeting online. You're keeping people safe. And now they're getting forced offline, too.
Yeah, it's scary. And so, I wrote a piece about that. And in my piece, I said that if big tech wasn't violating the First Amendment, which, I suppose you could make a pretty good argument that since they're private companies, they weren't violating the First Amendment. They certainly were violating the First Amendment in spirit, and they were begging for government regulation. I gave the analogy that if in 1967, those who protested against the Vietnam War, what if AT&T had said, we're going to cut off all your telephone service? You were seen at the Chicago convention, and you were protesting, so we know who you are, and we're going to cut off your telephone service. How do you think the left would have dealt with that?
Oh, absolutely, and yet when the left sees it happening to the right, they don't seem to care.
Yeah, and so, I was saying that if you study the Constitution, free speech is certainly a huge pillar of the Constitution.
It's the very first of the amendments, and that's for a reason, because when that goes, the rest of them go.
But what's even more protected than speech in general is political speech. Political speech is the most protected speech. And the Supreme Court, as far as I can tell, has an obligation to protect political speech. You know, saying that using Facebook and using Twitter is a luxury, and you're not guaranteed that. It's kind of like saying driving is a a luxury that, you know, but you try to live in California without driving cars.
Yeah, the tech giants have it both ways. I can say, okay, it's your own private platform. You can have whatever rules you want. But then when you go and say you want the government to exempt you from lawsuits against slander or being inconsistent from your own rules, they can't have it both ways.
No, exactly.
If they don't want to be a public utility, fine. But if they are a public utility, then they need to be regulated. They can't have it both ways.
So what's interesting is that we've lost many of the branches of government, but we haven't lost the Supreme Court. And I still have faith in the Supreme Court.
But they're planning on stacking it with 20, 30 Democrats if they can, now that Schumer's in charge.
Well, you know, that's not going to be so easy. They're going to have a constitutional amendment. That means that...
Well, the Constitution doesn't say how many people we have to have in the Supreme Court. They feel that we've had a tradition of nine, but they could technically make it whatever they want.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I will say this. They're overreaching for so many things that I do think a lot of this will blow up in their faces. So it is good news that they may not get away with all of this stuff. But people need to know what they're at least trying to do.
But I think the Supreme Court is going to acknowledge the fact that using these platforms is now a necessity in American life, and that these companies cannot regulate, if they have any political speech, they cannot regulate political speech.
Yeah.
But I'm not an attorney, so.
Well, Bill, it is always an honor to have you here, and we hope you won't be a stranger. I can't believe it was 2018 the last time you were here.
I'll come back.
It seems like yesterday. Of course, we all kind of skipped 2020. It doesn't look like 2021 is going to be much better, but I don't blame anybody for wanting to leapfrog over 2020. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
You have our prayers. It is a rarity to meet a politician with convictions and courage. You wouldn't be thinking of running for president, would you? Because you've got to be better than that clown they inaugurated a couple of days ago. That's a high bar.
If you can raise me about $500 million, that's a good start. So.
Okay. Well, that's a tall order, but it would be worth it to try to do that.
Can I tell people if they go to elcajon.us and if they want to reach me, they can just go to Elcajon's website and they can send me an email. And I answer every email I get, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And we also hear that in the tradition of Jim Barrier, Bill is very good at rock music too. So maybe the next time you're on, we'll start another feature, and this time it'll be called Stump the Mayor. That would be a lot of fun.
Let's do it. I've been a musician all my
life.
Right.
Maybe you'll win over some of those people that are into oldies, some of those baby boomers that were hanging on and think they're still on the left. Maybe it'll help your campaign. All right, Bill, always an honor. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.